Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is the author of our book of the month for October, Reading Isaiah with Luther. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Learn how the conscience is a gift from God and how only through Christ can you receive a clean conscience in Reading Isaiah with Luther, the Issues Etc. book of the month, Reading Isaiah with Luther.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to respond to some of your email and your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'd like to hear from our listeners. They have questions about something they've heard. They want to add to the conversation, clarify something, offer a criticism or a show suggestion. It's all welcome. talkback@issuesetc.org. Also, the Issues Etc. listener comment line, if you want to say it rather than write it out, 618-223-8382. What's first, Jeff?
This comes from Timothy. Timothy listens in Edmond, Oklahoma. He said, for the last couple of days, I have not been able to listen to Issues Etc. on my Amazon Alexa. I used to say, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio, and your program would come on. Now, it does not. Thank you for your time and what you do. Thanks for listening in Oklahoma, Timothy.
Well, first of all, thanks for listening to our 24/7 station, Lutheran Talk Radio. And this sounds to me, I'm no expert, but it sounds to me like it's probably an Amazon Alexa issue because nothing has changed on our end. We really can't change anything on our end. So I think what I would suggest you do is maybe try the more direct approach and ask for Issues Etc., see if that will help you at all. Now, Jeff has tried it out on his. You got one of these at home, and you've tried it out, and you said that that Lutheran Public Radio, or 24/7 Sacred Music Station, still works by saying, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio. But it used to say, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio. I didn't try Alexa, play Issues Etc., but Amazon Alexa just takes our feed from TuneIn, which streams our both stations, our 24/7 talk and music stations.
And we're still there at TuneIn.
Yeah, it's still working on TuneIn, so we'll have to look into it.
You know, this is the two-edged sword of the technology. There are more ways for people to listen than ever before. When I first started doing this 20 years ago, there was one way for people to listen. Actually, two. If you were an on-demand listener when I first started doing this, that meant you would call us and request a cassette tape of the show. If you missed it, and someone was physically dubbing cassette tapes of the show. And the only other way to listen was on terrestrial radio. So you either listened live on terrestrial radio or you asked for a cassette tape if you wanted to listen to it again. Now, shortly after that, we got the internet, we got the ability to archive audio. And then in the last 10 years or so, the medium by which people are able to listen just multiplied all over the place. So that most of our listeners now are on demand, and most of them are listening on their devices, which was 10 years ago just not happening. That's the good side. The other edge of the sword is that a lot more things can go wrong. It's like, you know, your dad's pickup from 1962, there was a limited number of things that could go wrong. Your dad's pickup this year, if he bought a 2018 Chevy Silverado, there's so many systems that can go wrong, he can no longer even think about opening the hood, much less working on it himself. And it's kind of, that's the double-edged sword of the technology. A lot of things can go wrong. I would experiment with Alexa, see what Alexa will respond to. I don't think the system learns at all, so you probably will have to find another keyword that's going to tell Alexa what it is you want to hear.
Janet, she listens in Livonia, Michigan. I've been really frustrated with the difficulty of searching the archives on your website. I was looking for Pastor Paul McCain's series on the Ten Commandments, but when I did the search, it first came up with finding out if he had any traffic tickets. I just want to search this site, not Google at large. And is there any way to get a list of guest series? There was one you posted recently, but I'm not sure what. But I would like to, for example, go to Pastor Paul McCain's series on the Augsburg Confession and listen to the episodes in order, but I haven't been able to look for the series without getting all the episodes of the particular guest who might have had several series. I hope I am making sense. I want to listen as I go about my day, but finding what I want to listen to on demand is too stressful. I may be driven back to country or Baroque music instead. Thanks for trying to listen in Michigan.
Yeah, Janet. Thanks for trying to listen. Okay, I'm not going to try and blame both Amazon and Google for these problems, but this is a problem with Google, because what Google wants to do, even with our search engine, that little Google search engine, what it will do with those proprietary search engines is it will give you the first couple hits that it's going to give you are not going to be from our site. Google's got to make its money. So it's giving us this service free to search the site, but the cost of doing that is they're going to show you what they want you to see, paid sites, at the top of the search before you see what we do. There's a site on the Book of Concord site that I use all the time, and you're able to search the contents of the Book of Concord there, but you got to sift down through about 6 or 8 hits that it gives you at the top of the page that have nothing to do with it before you find the search from that particular website. Now, the one way we have found around this is to take the series that we're doing, say, for instance, the Lutheran Confession series that we're doing with Pastor Paul McCain, and aggregating it all on one page rather than taking you to individual shows. We post those shows on one page. That will take some time, but it's something we need to do anyway. We are almost done with our series on the Lutheran Confessions with Pastor Paul McCain. Once we finish the Small Catechism, am I right, Jeff?
We have to do the Augsburg Confession. We've done the Apology, but not the Augsburg Confession.
So we'll go back and do the Augsburg Confession. Then we'll be done, and then it'll be time to put the entire thing on one page. I don't know how many episodes that's going to be, but it will be much easier to listen to them in order there. That's a little time-consuming and work-intensive, but it's something we simply have to do. It's the way we found out with our listeners, the easiest way to get them to that kind of on-demand listening where they want to listen to a series in order. And we're only doing the series maybe once a week. Or in the case of Pastor McCain, there have been times when we've taken months off or a couple weeks off at a time. So it's if you go back through the archives, you know, God bless you for searching that well. But when we get to the end of that series, we will assemble a page of the entire series in order. And it will be not in broadcast order, but it will probably be in the order of the Books of Concord for you to listen to.
So I went to that Google search engine under the Listen on Demand page. I typed in Paul McCain, Apology of the Augsburg Confession. The entire series is there. So she might have been mistaken because she typed in Augsburg Confession, which we haven't done yet. Now, I'm not...
Oh, that could be.
I'm not...
Is it all there in order? Do you see the hits?
Yes, but we need to do a better job because we don't always number them, which we need to do. But it usually sorts for us in the oldest one at the bottom and the most recent one at the top. And that's what it appears to have done here. However, it also has a pastor's roundtable on the Apology of the Augsburg Confession.
It's going to give you everything on the Apology of the Augsburg Confession because it's not a very smart search.
But all of Paul McCain's Apology of the Augsburg Confession, if you type in Paul McCain, Apology of the Augsburg Confession, they're all there.
Now, one of the things that we're hoping to do with the rollout of a better website is improve some of this. But this is so far above my pay grade or Jeff's pay grade in terms of the technology to how to improve a search engine that will search the archives of our show. I don't want to make anyone jealous, but I can search the archives of our show very, very easily through the back end of the website. And I do it all the time for Jeff when he wants to know who we've been talking to about certain things. But that is not the kind of efficiency we have for our listeners yet. You know, we are dependent on Google as a search engine kind of to which everyone bows. And hopefully when we revamp the website sometime soon, one of the things we definitely want to improve is the ability to search the archives.
And disregard the first one or two boxes, which will be Google ads.
Yeah, it's always going to be Google ads. They got to get paid. That's why they make their money.
Sorry, I cannot take this phone call. I'm on the air. All right, let's go to, let's see what Jacob, he says, Pastor Bender's example that the Lord's Supper is like a T-bone steak doesn't do much to convince me that infant communion advocates don't have a point. He said, you don't give a nursing newborn baby steak, so therefore you don't give the baptized baby the solid food of the Lord's Supper. However, Paul says in chapter 3 of the same letter that he fed them with milk, not solid food, because they were infants in Christ and not ready for solid food. Chapter 11 reveals that part of the milk he gave these babes was the Lord's Supper to help them grow in their faith. So Paul seems to refer to the Lord's Supper as part of the spiritual milk, the basic catechesis that babies in the faith need. And more advanced catechesis, like what Pastor Bender is so good at doing, is the steak. So can we really say with such certainty that the practice of communing infants is wrong? Thanks for listening and thanks for the email, Jacob.
Well, if you go back and listen to that particular segment with Pastor Bender, that he did use that analogy, and it's an imperfect analogy, but he was trying to drive home the point that there are things appropriate, as there are things appropriate to infants in a physical sense, there are also things appropriate to infants in a spiritual sense with respect to the sacraments. I don't think he was trying to press the analogy any farther than that or connect it to the passages that you were talking about there with milk and solid food. That was not his intention. But if you listen, his greater point was this. The reason, by and large, the Western Church has not communed infants is because it's not because of what the infants can or can't do. We wholeheartedly agree that infants believe. We wholeheartedly agree that infants confess insofar as infants can confess. I have an infant in my house almost every single day. He cannot say the word grandpa yet. He tries very hard, but he knows who grandpa is. And when he says whatever he happens to choose, the two syllables he happens to choose, when I say to him, hey, Jade, say grandpa, he'll pick two random syllables. To him, that is grandpa. As yet, though, if someone were simply to hear him make that sound, they wouldn't know that he was saying grandpa. I do, because I've asked him the question. So the greater point that Pastor Bender was making with respect to pastoral practice, the administration of, because it's not just about the recipient. Pastors are charged to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God, the sacraments of God. So pastors have a responsibility to see to it, as the Lutheran confessions clearly say, that no one communes who doesn't know what it is or why they come. If there's a question mark there, the pastor's practice is to refrain from administering the sacrament there rather than erring on the side of, well, good enough or something like that. So we do not say that infants can't believe. We do not even say that infants can't confess to the extent that infants can confess. What we do say is that pastors cannot examine them. That's the greater point. It is not the ability of the infant, but the inability of the pastor to rightly examine the communicant to understand what is being confessed. Now, so that was Pastor Bender's greater point. Responsible pastoral practice. And it's been my experience in both discussing and arguing the issue of infant communion that now goes back almost 30 years for me. Believe it or not, Lutherans have been, about every 10 years, a Lutheran comes up with the bright idea that infants ought to be communed, and they reinvent all the same wheels all over again. You're not the first one to make the argument, is what I'm saying. And it's been 30 years. I've dealt with fellow pastors and others on the issue of infant communion. And it's been, I have to sadly admit that for those who have decided that infants ought to be communed, there is no argument that suffices to deter them from that. There isn't. Not the issue of responsible pastoral practice, not the issue of the church's practice. None of those things really hold any water for them. I'm not saying that they're being dishonest. I'm just saying they've already made up their minds. And they're going to do what they're going to do. And they may raise objections to arguments made against infant communion, but it's not with the purpose of being convinced otherwise. It simply isn't. So I think it's a very strong argument, in fact, that Pastor Bender has made, that for the pastor to responsibly administer the sacrament, he needs to be able to examine the communicant so that we know that they know what it is and why they come. That's the Lutheran Confessions, a large catechism. And if he can't do that, then he cannot responsibly commune that person. Now, what does that examination entail? Someone's going to immediately jump to, oh, you say that they have to be able to recite the entire catechism from top to bottom. No, that's not what I'm saying. Just has to be able to responsibly examine the communicant. That may differ in different cases. There are people, they're full-grown adults, who can only be examined to a certain extent with respect to what they believe and confess about the Lord's Supper. And there are other adults who could write a treatise on the thing. But it comes back down to responsible pastoral practice with the Lord's Supper.
Hi, guys. This is Phil from Troy, Michigan. Just wanted to say how precious, very, very precious issues, et cetera, is to me, my family, and my church. I was listening today to a past podcast, listening to Todd and Pastor Paul McCain for the Lutheran Confession segment regarding the Eighth Commandment. Loving it, very enriching, important, learned a lot. However, once again, I've heard this similar comments in previous programs. It was discussed that the U.S. economy is based on greed. I would beg to differ. I submit that capitalism is, I'd like to say, forced love thy neighbor or go out of business. After 35 years in various businesses, I'd say you can't survive in this economy or this business very long if you don't do well to your customer or your neighbor. Yes, there's excursions of greed from the Bernie Madoffs down to the Mr. Bojangles, but in that mode, you won't last very long, as was the case for Bernie Madoff. I'd like to say, substitute Ben Franklin's quote, substitute the word capitalism in for beer, where Ben Franklin says, beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. I would like to say that capitalism is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Anyway, love you guys. Appreciate your show. Keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much for your thoughts there. I appreciate those. I think when we were talking about in the discussion of the Eighth Commandment, or it might be the Ninth and Tenth Commandments, I'm not sure, and the subject went to greed, there is a sense in which greed does run things because, of course, we're not angels. We don't take for granted that people are acting from the best motives. So whether it be through greed or through genuine philanthropy, love for one's neighbor, the thing continues to chug on. But I completely agree with you. You're not going to stay in business if you don't, at least in an outward civil sense, treat your neighbor, that is, in this case, your employees and your customers, with, at least in an outward sense, a modicum of civility. Just had a conversation with someone from across the street this morning about a business in my town that they treat their customers terribly. And both of us said, yeah, we never go back there. It is the law of attrition when it comes to keeping those customers. So you're quite right when it comes to that.
Time for one final email. Lydia writes, I am really appreciating and enjoying this series on marriage with Pastor David Peterson. Thank you so much to both of you for this insightful collection. It has been so thorough already, and I appreciate Pastor Peterson's fearlessness on confronting some of the issues that often get tiptoed around but are quite serious and ought to be catechized on correctly. It's all very helpful, and I look forward to the next two episodes. Thanks for the feedback, Lydia.
Pastor Peterson is doing a fantastic job in this series on Christian marriage. You're seeing there the fruit of several decades of pastoral ministry right there on the front lines, as we say here at Issues, etc., dealing with married couples and dealing with prospective married couples. And I think what our listeners are finding so very refreshing, as that listener reflected, is the fact that Pastor Peterson is fearless when it comes to addressing issues like divorce and the other things that bedevil marriage today. He says it as the Bible says it. He says it quite clearly. He does not equivocate. Just wait. We haven't even started our conversation with Pastor Peterson when it comes to divorce yet. If you think what you've heard so far is bold and fearless, there's more to come in that series. I recommend it for your listening. When we come back, we're going to turn to the issue of a culture of sexual integrity. Heather Roush will be our guest.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Good Shepherd Lutheran, San Diego, California. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Emmanuel Lutheran, Arcadia, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. St. John Lutheran, Corcoran, Minnesota. Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Bethlehem Lutheran, Ravenna, Nebraska. Redeemer Lutheran, Los Alamos, New Mexico. Peace Lutheran, Rapid City, South Dakota. And Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.